Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to the jungle. A tremendous Friday to you. My name is Jim Rome. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, then. Obviously, we have a lot to talk about today and a lot to get done, and there is some breaking news regarding last night's scuffle. Let's get to it. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Busy Friday, but the interviews do not start until hour number two. Take advantage of it. Jump in. Hour number one. What do you make of what you saw last night? The suspensions have already come down, reportedly. I will get to them in a minute. Don't wait on me. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. If you don't want to call the program, tweet at the program, at Jim Rome. If you don't want to tweet at me, email me, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. So three different ways to get through. Or go to my Instagram feed, go to my Facebook page, do all that. Coming up in the second hour, Nick Nurse, the head basketball coach of the Toronto Raptors, joins us. Hour number three, loaded. Friday is always a busy third hour. Today we've got Colorado State Rams football player Josh Griffin, Nashville Predators head coach Peter Laviolette. Is there going to be a week that was? Alvin's week that was. Yes, there is. Why do I ask the question? Because Alvy is not here. James Kelly is here. The flight deck is in Alvy's chair. So what there will be today is the 4 days that were. Flight deck dominates a number of things, but not that aspect of the program. So that's what it's looking like. Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. All right, so about last night, let me just ask you this. Did you notice anything strange about last night? Notice anything bizarre that may have gone down last night? Did you see anything on TV that seemed a little bit off about last night? You know, maybe something you've never seen before. I sure as hell did. And yes, there was an actual game last night, which I will get to a little bit later on. But as you know, that game was overshadowed by that other deal. And for some reason, if you didn't see it, let me roll it for you. Now, I would give you the context before setting up this clip, but I'm not exactly sure what that context is. I've got no idea what context that there is that would make any sense of this. None. So, with that said, and without knowing what the context might be, here you go.
Here's a flag as... Mason Rudolph got
Rudolph
into
needs
it.
To get out of there.
What in the world? Believe Miles Garrett? They'll be swinging a helmet?
Yeah, there'll be some ejections coming out of this.
There may be suspensions.
That's right, suspensions.
Well, he tackled Rudolph. Rudolph didn't like the way that he was tackled.
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. Oh. Oh, my goodness. Rips the helmet off Rudolph's head and then eventually swings it and hits him in the head. And then Ogunjobi comes up and hits Rudolph from behind.
Beyond words,
oh,
Joe.
Oh, gosh. That's one of the worst things I've ever seen on a professional sports field.
NFL on Fox with that call. Quick question. The hell was that? Now, seriously, what was that? You run that back again, because I've seen that already 100 times, and I'm still not exactly sure what I saw or how that even went down.
Here's a flag as... Mason Rudolph got
Rudolph
into
needs
it.
To get out of there.
What in the world? Believe Miles Garrett? They'll be swinging a helmet?
Yeah, there'll be some ejections coming out of this.
There may be suspensions.
That's right, suspensions.
Well, he tackled Rudolph. Rudolph didn't like the way that he was tackled.
Oh,
was,
gosh. Man. Oh, man. Oh. Oh, my goodness. Rips the helmet off Rudolph's head and then eventually swings it and hits him in the head. And then Ogunjobi comes up and hits Rudolph from behind.
Beyond words,
oh,
Joe.
Oh, gosh. That's one of the worst things I've ever seen on a professional sports field.
Yeah. No. Seeing another time does not make it any clearer or make any more sense to me now that I've seen it. Like, I still am not sure exactly what I saw. Because I know what it wasn't. What that wasn't was some extracurricular activity at the end of the game between two teams that hate each other's guts, where a couple of guys are jawing, maybe a punch or two are thrown. That's not what that was. That was Myles Garrett ripping Mason Rudolph's helmet off his head and then weaponizing it and cracking him in said head with said helmet and damn near braining him with it. And yes, there was a lot more that happened after the fact. Suspensions have already come down. I would say about them in a minute. And there was more, like Steelers center Marquise Pouncey throwing haymakers and then kicking Garrett. But this is not about that. This is about whatever the hell that was that preceded that. The league is cracking down on helmet-to-helmet hits. But nobody ever thought about cracking down on hitting a guy with his own helmet hits. Because that's never happened. At least not at that level. Myles Garrett must have missed the seminar on player safety. Then again, I'm not sure there was a breakout session on not smashing guys in the head with their own helmets. Hitting a guy without a helmet is one thing. Hitting a guy with his own helmet is another. That's next level. I've seen a lot of football in my time, but I've never seen a guy rip off another dude's helmet and then beat said guy with his own helmet. I'm sorry. Like, I'm still blown away by the fact that a guy took off another guy's helmet and then smashed him with it. That's mind-blowing. It's awful. It's inexcusable, and it is stunning. And that is not just one of those things. That's not just something that happens. That's not one of those heat-of-the-moment things. Or one of those, unless you've lined up and played the game at the highest level, you just don't get it things. Because pretty much nobody who's currently playing the game at the highest level or used to play the game at the highest level gets that or try to defend that because you can't. Like, that's something you joke about. That's like, yo, man, I'll rip your helmet off and I'll beat you with it, yo. Except that's exactly what Myles Garrett did. He actually did it. And no, this is not one of those deals where I say, I'm not going to rush in. I'm not going to judge because I wasn't there. I don't know what was said. I don't know what precipitated that. I mean, that's all true. I wasn't there. I don't know what was said. I don't know what precipitated it. I just don't give a damn. Or who, quote, started the fight. See, I don't care about the context. I've seen the suggestion that Rudolph may have done something to him when they were on the ground. Maybe he did. But if he did, whatever it was, it still does not justify ripping off a guy's bonnet and then assaulting him with it. And Garrett's teammate Baker Mayfield sure didn't seem to think so himself when he was asked about it on the field right after the game.
I didn't see why it started, but it's inexcusable. I don't care, rivalry or not, we can't do that. That's kind of the history of, you know, what's been going on here lately, hurting yourself, and that's just endangering the other team. That's inexcusable. He knows that. The reality is he's going to get suspended. We don't know how long, and that hurts our team. And we can't do that. We can't continue to hurt this team. It's inexcusable.
Good on him. Good on him. Actually, he's right. We do not know how long he's going to be suspended. He has already been suspended. I will have that note for you in a moment. Going back to Baker Mayfield for a second, though, I think he handled that really well. Given everything that had just gone down and the fact that they won a big game and then his teammate went brain dead and did one of the dumbest things ever, Baker handled that really well. Freddie Kitchens, also after the game, was not looking to make excuses.
We don't react like that no matter what. That's not an excuse for anything that Miles did at all. And we're not giving him an excuse. He doesn't want an excuse.
He doesn't want an excuse. We're not giving him an excuse. Freddie was just getting started. He had more.
I'm embarrassed. Of course, that's not who we want to be at the end of the game. That's not who Miles wants to be. That's not who we're going to be. You have to be able to maintain your composure in times like that, and under no circumstance do we want anything to do with anything like that. I'm embarrassed. Miles is embarrassed. It's not good.
It's not good. It's not good, and he's not done. There was still more.
We've got 5 seconds to go in the game. That can't happen. We've got 5 seconds to go in the game. The biggest game that this team's won.
All right, again, the suspensions have come down. I will give those to you in 1 minute. I just want to finish the thought. So Baker handled that well, I thought, on the field. The coach was pissed, and so were Garrett's teammates. Odell Beckham Jr. called it, quote, dumb. Beckham said, quote, for what direction we're headed in for this organization, it just was not where we've been going. It does feel like we lost the game, end of quote. All right, so again, what's the punishment that fits the crime? What is the punishment that fits the crime? Like, there's not a manual that you can pull out and say, unsportsmanlike conduct, 15 yards. Smashing a guy with his own helmet, 6 games. There isn't that. But the league's got to do something, right? And the league has got to act swiftly, and the league does not want that narrative and that conversation to run amok and run out of control. So the league has come down. According to Adam Schefter, Myles Garrett has been suspended indefinitely. An indefinite suspension. We don't know how long that is, just indefinitely. They moved in quickly. Defensive tackle, Larry Ogunjobi. It's a 1-game suspension. Steelers safe or center, Marquise Pouncey, who came to the defense of his quarterback, gets suspended for 3 games. That according to Adam Schefter. So Garrett suspended indefinitely. Pouncey gets 3 games. And very clearly, the league had to do something quickly to make a statement. Those of you looking for a lifetime ban for Garrett, that's not going to happen. In fact, we're not even sure how long it's going to be. But what that is kind of a placeholder. Like, they jump in there, they make the statement, they suspend him, and that kind of changes the narrative a little bit. They had to do something. It's a smart move by the league. What that does is it makes a statement and it buys them some time. It makes a statement, it buys them time until they can make an actual decision. They had to do something. CBS's Will Brinson says that Garrett has been suspended indefinitely without pay, quote, at minimum for the remainder of the regular season and postseason, and also fined, quote, an additional amount. So according to Will Brinson, that just in, the remainder of the regular season and the postseason and fined as well. Obviously, you're going to see those images and you're going to see the video, and it's going to run over and over and over again, and it's going to stick to Garrett forever. The league had to do something quickly, and they did. They had to. I do have more thoughts on that. And they did win the game, but when does a win feel like a loss when something like that happens? Because that can't happen. It just cannot happen. No matter what was said, no matter what was done, you can't rip off a dude's helmet and then smash him with it. Can you imagine what could have happened? As bad as that was, can you imagine how lucky they were that that was not so much worse? Can you imagine if he had hit him a certain way with that helmet? If he had maimed him perfectly or permanently? If he had killed a player by weaponizing that helmet? So more on that. You know, and this notion of, well, if he had done that on the street, that would be a criminal act and he'd be in jail. Pretty much. That would be assault. In addition to that, the game, the matchup, the win. In basketball, Portland apparently is going to sign Carmelo Anthony. I will get into that as well. Danny Dimes, trademarking Danny Dimes, allegedly. My thoughts on that. Nick Nurse, next hour. Josh Griffin in the third hour, Peter Laviolette in hour number 3, the 4 days that were in hour number 3. I've got an ATP. Hey, Adam, how about a what's your beef? We didn't do that yesterday. What's your beef? We'll do it too. Busy, busy day. Open phones in hour 1. So Dell celebrates your small business this season with the Black Friday sneak peek. Our biggest Black Friday ever starts right now. Save up to 45% on Windows 10 computers with Intel Core processors before Windows 7 support ends on January 14th, 2020. You can save on servers and a huge selection of the latest electronics, all with free shipping. Call 877-BUY-DELL and talk to a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Are you craving some protein after a good workout? Probably so. This time, do not make a shake. Do not reach for a bar. Instead, grab a bag of beef jerky from Old Trapper. Old Trapper beef jerky is tasty. It's tender. It's made with real strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. And it goes wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. So look for Old Trapper in a Clearview bag. You can see the quality that you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores. If you don't see it, be sure to ask for it by name, because clones, no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? I am Jim Rome. A tremendous Friday to you. Welcome to the jungle. I am live. We talked all about what happened last night. Browns, Steelers, Myles Garrett losing his head. Mason Rudolph losing his helmet. It ending up in Garrett's hand, and he then used it to smash Rudolph in the head. For that, he gets an indefinite suspension. Reportedly for the rest of the regular season and the postseason, and an undisclosed fine. Does the punishment fit the crime? Tough to say because we don't know what the punishment is. But the league did the right thing to act swiftly, punitively, make a statement, buy themselves some time. And we're getting a lot of reactions. Some of you seem to think that it's not all his fault. Some of you seem to think that it's not his fault at all. Some of you seem to think that the Steelers started it, that Mason Rudolph started it because he grabbed at his face mask first, because he may have kicked him in the junk. I've already told you my thoughts on this. I don't know what he said. I don't know what he did. I really don't give a damn. I share the same opinion as Freddie Kitchens. We're not giving him an excuse. There is no excuse. He's got to maintain his composure. I mean, I still, for the life of me, I can't believe that I have to say this, but you can't rip a player's helmet off and smash him in the head with the same helmet. Or your helmet. Or anybody else's helmet. You can't. 1-800-636-8686. All right, we'll pick that conversation up in a minute, but we are joined right now by the head coach of the Toronto Raptors in his second season as Raptors head coach. He led them to their first NBA championship in team history. Toronto was out quickly. They're 8-3. They're at Dallas tomorrow night. We are joined by their head coach, Nick Nurse. Nick, it is good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How are you doing?
Nick, I'm great. It's great to visit with you. Thanks for making time. Got a few things to discuss with you, starting with that win over Portland Wednesday night. Pascal Siakam had 36. Fred VanVleet had 30, Nick. So I got to ask, what gets you more fired up? Those two guys going for 66, or the fact that you held Damian Lillard to just 9 points?
Oh, to nine, because that's almost impossible to do. That was fun. Our guys are playing hard, and we've had a bunch of injuries on the road, Jim. And Siakam and VanVleet just keep getting better and better, and guys have been playing well.
We're talking to Nick Nurse. Nick, the phone connection is not great, but I'm going to try and work through that and see if it gets a little bit better. As hard as it is to shut down Lillard, that's not a fluke now. Already on this road trip, you've held LeBron to 13. You held Kawhi to 12. You even broke out that box and won against Lillard. So how pleased are you overall with the defensive execution on this trip?
Yeah, I got to be really pleased, Jim. There's no doubt about it. It's, you know, we're playing hard, and we're giving a tremendous effort on defense, and that's one thing, but executing certain schemes and being able to do it over the course of one game is also one thing, and then being able to kind of string it up for a few games in a row. So there's some buy-in there, there's some consistency there, and there's some really, really great effort, which is what you need for defense.
We're talking to Nick Nurse. I don't want to jinx it, Nick, but now that connection sounds good. Let me ask you specifically about those two guys, starting with VanVleet. He played the entire second half against the Clippers. He played 40 minutes against the Blazers. You had to practically battle to rest him in the fourth quarter. So what do you make of the way he has stepped up without Kyle Lowry?
Yeah, he's like another Kyle Lowry, Jim. He's really similar, his toughness and his playmaking, his leadership. And just a winner. You know, he won big time in college. He played in the G League for our team and won a championship there. And obviously he was super clutch in the finals last year. You know, he's a hell of a player. I can't say enough about him. It's hard to get him off the floor. He's that important to our team.
Raptors head coach Nick Nurse back in the jungle. And then you have Siakam, who was the most improved player last year. And then, Nick, you challenged him to be the man this year. What do you make of the way that he has responded to that challenge so far?
Well, he's been great. His scoring average is up almost 10 points a game, but I really love his rebounding. It's over nine, almost 10 boards a game. You know, the opportunity presented itself, you know, with Kawhi and Danny leaving, you know, it's about 32 shots a game exiting as well. And Pascal had to fill in as kind of our go-to guy. And so far so good. He's really embraced it, and he's getting better and better, and I think the sky is for him yet.
Talking to Nick Nurse. You know, Nick, every season is new and it's different, but this season obviously is very different given that you won a championship and there are significant changes in the roster. So I'm kind of curious, how did you approach that in camp? For instance, does the identity of the team change when players change, or is the identity consistent no matter who's there?
Well, we hope to keep the identity the same, Jim, because, you know, we thought we played defense last year, right? We were a good defensive team, and you're not going anywhere in this league or most leagues, to be honest with you, if you're not playing good defense. And we try to share the ball. And I think you got to get through some moments of playing great team basketball on the offensive end, but you also got to be able to blend in going to your go-to guys at the right times, because I just think that's how it ends up being in the playoffs. Your go-to scorers are going to be called upon to make big buckets.
You know, it seems to me that Siakam is trending towards superstardom. I mean, he didn't take a step when Kawhi left. It looks like he's taken an enormous leap. As an example, it was not that long ago that he was not that much of a shooter. He's been working on that for a while now, Nick, and now he's hitting pull-up threes. Maybe there's still more room for improvement there, but how far has he come in that regard?
Well, he wasn't a very good shooter at all when he first got to us, Jim, and he really, give him a lot of credit, we retweaked all his mechanics almost back to, you know, grade school level, like 3 feet, you know, perfect form shooting. And he really did a great job at working through that stuff. His mechanics are really sound now. His balance, his follow through, his release, all that stuff sound. He's still got a ways to go just because that, you know, that kind of develops over some years. But his mechanics are sound. His work ethic is great. I think it's just a matter of time.
We're talking to Nick Nurse. Nick, I remember talking to John Calipari after he won his title at Kentucky, and he said that he did not wake up the morning after that game feeling like he was a better coach the day before it. You and I spoke shortly after you won your championship. Now that you've had some time to reflect, does winning an NBA championship make you a different coach in any regard?
No, not really, Jim. I just think you get up and you go to work, and for me it's the same. You try to get your guys playing hard, playing together with chemistry and some toughness, and then you see who's coming at you, and you try to figure out how to beat them. You put a scouting report and a game plan together and just approach it the same.
My man, that's great. You know, that said, Nick, as crazy as it is, you're only in your second season as an NBA head coach. So is there something maybe you know about being an NBA head coach now that you did not know at this time last year?
Well, I think the one thing you do know, Jim, is that it's a process of getting from October to June, right? It's a growing process. It's a learning curve, and there's a lot of basketball to be played between now and the playoff hits. And when that hits, it's some intense stuff, man. The playoffs are some 2 months of super intense toughness, game plan execution, mental toughness, making plays, and it's a process that you got to kind of grow through as the season goes, and I think I got to experience that last year.
Yeah, so knowing what you know right now, I wonder about that process, Nick. Knowing that the postseason is that ultimate test, that ultimate grind, it tests you mentally, it tests you physically. At what point during the regular season do you start to adjust the process to gear up for the postseason process?
Well, I think it depends on what team you have, Jim. You know, I think last year we didn't do it till later on. It was new. Still learning me. We hadn't put in a lot of defensive schemes, et cetera, that I knew we were going to need for the playoffs. After going through that this year, we probably got a few more of those in now, so we're able to use some of those things now. But I would say, you know, I think after the All-Star break, you start peeking down there and looking towards the end of the year.
Talking to Nick Nurse for a few more moments. Nick, I got to ask, what was a bigger moment for you personally, winning your first NBA championship in June or winning your first coach's challenge on Sunday?
The championship was better, but that winning that coach's challenge was felt pretty darn good too. I think I was 0-6, Jim. Couldn't get one right. So it was a mini celebration we had there getting that first one right.
And Nick, both those things, you earn both those things, and nobody will ever be able to take either one of those things from you.
Thank you.
I got to ask you really quickly. There were a lot of things you could have done after winning that championship, and it would seem like maybe relaxing, taking the edge off, would have been at the top of the list. Instead, you signed on to be the head coach for Canada basketball. What was it about the opportunity that excited you, and what did you take away from that experience?
Well, I think it's a great moment for basketball in Canada, Jim. There's tons of talent. There's 20 Canadians in the NBA now. There's a great chance for our team to make the Olympics. I don't know if you saw the FIBA release today, but we're hosting the Olympic qualifying tournament in Victoria, British Columbia, in June. So we'll have a chance to get our guys to play and hopefully make the Tokyo Olympics at the end of the summer.
Nick, last thought. You and I talked about your journey in the past and some of the stops along the way, like that run you had with the Iowa Energy in the D-League. You led them to the 2011 championship, and tonight the plan is you're going to be honored at the Iowa Wolves game in Des Moines. What does the time with the Energy mean to you, and what's it mean to you that they want to honor you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I would have been in the NBA without the Iowa Energy, Jim. I mean, I was kicking around coaching overseas and minor leagues and things like that in the summer, but that Iowa Energy getting me in the NBA Development League at the time, which is now the G League, gave me a chance to kind of get in the NBA circle, you know, and do some things where people would take note, and that's certainly wouldn't be there without them. So I'm excited to go back and celebrate the NBA title with everybody from Iowa.
Nick Nurse, my guest. Nick, I got to say it for the record, you're a hell of a coach. You really are. Toronto Raptors head coach, second season as Raptors head coach, led them to a championship, and they're at Dallas tomorrow night. Nick, I appreciate you. Great to have you back on the show. Always good to talk some ball with you.
Thanks, Jim. Always been a big fan, man. Thank you very much for having me.
You too, Nick. Great talking to you. Congrats. I don't know, like, he would have gone, and I would have said that, but for whatever reason, I felt the need to tell him directly. You're a hell of a coach, Nick. I mean, this guy is the elite coach. He is a hell of a basketball coach. And to lose who they lost and to see them pick up where they are right now and play the way they are and still have that defensive mentality and to lock guys down the way they have. As I mentioned, they shut down Damian Lillard. Not a fluke. Already on that road trip, they held LeBron to 13, Kawhi to 12. Broke out that box and won on Dame. They are strong. Still had my thoughts on Carmelo Anthony getting another look. Damian Lillard, speaking of Dame, he had been out and on record as trying to get Carmelo Anthony, pitch Carmelo Anthony to come to Portland, and finally, it's going to be a thing. Something we did not do yesterday, we are going to do today. It's normally a Thursday thing. Get ready. Oh, I forgot, Alvin's not here today. You know what that is, JK. JK's great. JK knows all the drops. Yeah, dude, I know you want me to play Sark. I just don't know where to find it. Get ready for another rousing edition of What's Your Beef? The segment presented to you by Old Trapper Beef Jerky. So whatever you're beefing about, obviously we had a whole first hour beef on what happened last night. That can be your beef. If you want to beef about somebody or something else, I will get to it a little bit later on. In fact, probably this hour. Do it. Load it up. The segment, thanks. Way to get that in today, Flight Deck. Way to get that in the same day that I said it, Flight Deck. Way to get that in the same week that I said it, Flight Deck. Dude, never sit in that chair. You're like my favorite guy. But now if you're going to sit in that chair and you're going to do crap like that, you're going to be less than my favorite guy. Maybe still my favorite guy, but not by as much. The segment's going to go back to where it normally resides, Tuesday and Thursday of next week. In the meantime, remember, if you want a protein snack, what you want to do is ditch the drinks and the bars. Grab a bag of Old Trapper Beef Jerky. Tender, tasty, real beef that rocks your craving for a snack that satisfies. Ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? Call with your beef, tweet with your beef, email me your beef. Oh, all is forgiven, Big Head. James Kelly, nobody like him.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
When was the last time that you got into your sock drawer? I mean, really got into it. If you can't remember, it's probably time for an upgrade. Bombas socks are made with comfort innovations such as arch support, a seamless toe, a cushioned footbed. It's all sock speak for incredibly comfortable. They come in hundreds of colors and styles, making them perfect for men, women, and kids. I love the product. I love Bombas socks. I love the way they look. I love the way they feel. I love the company and the mission behind the company. And I love their new line of merino wool socks that are made from soft, warm, and naturally moisture-wicking merino wool designed with all of Bombas' classic comfort features. And remember, every pair of socks that you buy, Bombas will donate a pair to somebody in need. That's what I mean when I say I love the mission behind the company. Bombas are what feet daydream about. Buy your Bombas at bombas.com/Rome today. Do it today and get 20% off your first time purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/Rome and get 20% off. Bombas.com/Rome. As promised, we are joined by a player for Colorado State. He joined the Army after high school. He's had 5 deployments overseas. He is an active duty staff sergeant. Colorado State is at home, another big one. They've got Air Force coming in tomorrow night. We are joined by Joshua Griffin. Joshua, so good to have you on. How are you?
Outstanding, huge fan.
Thank you very much, Josh. Me too. Really good to have you. Listen, I know you're not going to look to ever make it about yourself, so I appreciate you coming on today and having a conversation with me. First off, let me talk about your football team. The season got off to kind of a tough start, but you've won 3 straight. You've had an extra week to get ready for Air Force. How would you describe the vibe among the players right now?
Confident, very confident.
What about Air Force? They're coming in. What's the challenge involving Air Force? When you look at them specifically, what concerns you the most, and what are your thoughts when you see them?
Well, honestly, the challenge with Air Force, you know, first top off, you know, hats off to the Air Force Academy. Like most service academies, they were still disciplined in all that they do. And so one of the biggest things that we have to make sure is that we have to win the penalties on tomorrow. I think that's probably the most common factor on whoever wins tomorrow.
We're talking to Joshua Griffin. You know, when I look at your team, you're one of the leaders on that team. So what's it say about the guys in that locker room that when the season did not start especially well, nobody turned on one another, and they didn't either consciously or unconsciously mail it in, but guys kept working to turn it around? What did that say about that team?
Oh, resilience. You know, the ability to bend and not break is I think what these guys and what we are about, you know, as it were, and just to see the level of commitment to each other, you know, when you go through a lot from spring, summer, and fall camps. And so, you know, you can't just say, okay, I'm done because of, you know, a couple things didn't happen your way. So to see that them have the ability to love and trust one another and to realize that, you know, there's always a tomorrow, you know, that speaks volumes of them as a young man.
Joshua Griffin joining us. Now, when you started to get some attention and your story started to make the rounds, you made the point, hey, look now, this is a team that's got a lot of amazing stories and amazing guys. I'm not sure that anybody has your story per se, but take a moment, for instance, and tell everybody about Logan Stewart. He grew up nearby, and he used to sell beverages, and he overcame a number of things, including financial hardship. He earned a scholarship. He became a starting player. What was it like for you personally when you saw him get that scholarship and see all of his hard work pay off?
Oh, man, it was – I think I was happier for him than he was happy for himself. I mean, a young man, and not to get too much into his personal life, that's his own story to tell, but for him to struggle day in and day out and like I say, make the hard right instead of the easy left – you know, it's something that books and movies are made out of. I mean, this young man came here, you know, took out student loans, slept from one couch to the next until he ended up staying with me for the remaining of the year. And to see the work ethic that he put in, you know, not only did he train during fall camp, but he worked with a local trainer after, you know, practice when everybody else is home, sleep, or playing Fortnite, as it were. But to see him put that work ethic into and see his, you know, life come to fruition as it is. I can only hope for the best, and I see a great future for him, whether it's in football or, you know, whether, you know, or somewhere else in life.
Now, for some reason, Josh, people listening right now do not know your background or your story. They're probably hearing this and saying, this does not sound like a normal college football player. And the fact is, you're not. Your story is inspiring as well. Now, you played football and you ran track at Ross Shaw Sterling High School in Texas. Back then, what were you like as a football player?
Oh, cocky. But no. I was a cornerback. Pretty much I played all of the defensive back positions, and I also was a 200 and 400 meter runner. Not too shabby, if I say so myself.
Not too shabby at all. Now, the story goes that you suffered an injury as a senior. At that point, what kind of thoughts were you having about football? Did you think your football days were over then?
No, I've always had this uncommon, you know, will to, you know, just persevere. And I knew that, you know, that if I didn't have it today, then there will be a tomorrow somewhere down the line. So, and like I told, you know, somebody else, I always knew two things was going to happen. You know, either I was going to be in the NFL or I was going to be in the Army. And so when I got hurt and I didn't see a foreseeable future playing sports anymore, I decided to hang up the cleats momentarily and join the armed forces.
Joshua Griffin joining us. He's a player for Colorado State. So what was it about the Army that appealed to you and made you want to sign up?
Oh, just the selfless service, you know. A lot of people don't know, but, you know, the military has always been a great contributor to the equality in our society. And, you know, I'm also a son of a soldier, or grandson of a soldier, and it runs deep in my family. And, it's our team, too. You know, the ability to come together and, you know, complete a mission is very similar to, you know, how it is on a gridiron or on a basketball court or anything in sports. And so, you know, being in the military definitely helped facilitate that competitor that's within me.
Joshua Griffin joining us. Now, you touched on this, but I want to make sure that the listeners understand. You served more than a decade in the Army. You trained with the Army Rangers, the Green Berets. You were deployed overseas. You were involved in missions that we can't really discuss. But what have you learned about yourself during your time in the Army?
Honestly, that I can do anything I put my mind to, you know, whether it was, you know, being a night stalker or, you know, on the various deployments, you know, so forth and so on. One thing I learned about myself is that actually I care about people. You know, I care about my soldiers, you know, getting them home. You know, I care about their families so they can see their mothers or their fathers, you know, sisters and brothers, as it were. So, you know, a lot of people would think that as a service member, you would say something, you know, hard, and yes, I've learned that I'm callous or I'm tough and all that, but yeah, at the end of the day, we're just people trying to get each other back to their loved ones.
Joshua Griffin joining us, plays his college ball right now at Colorado State. You got involved in the Green to Gold program. What is that, and why are we excited about that?
Yes, yeah, so the Green to Gold program, it offers service members the opportunity to take a break from the military for 2 years, go to an institution of choice in order to get their degree and then come back into the military as an officer.
All right, so you get accepted into that program, and then football was always, I would imagine, still in the back of your mind, but you've said the love of football was ignited. You had three schools in mind, Houston, Temple, USC. The story goes you were going to fly here to Los Angeles to see USC, but there was a travel issue in Denver, so you went to Colorado State instead. What do you remember about the visit?
It was divine. I just can't explain anything else, you know, about that. I mean, what other story can you say that, you know, you go to a place that you really didn't care to go, you end up meeting the football operations manager, you end up meeting the head coach, and then you leave the campus not only being accepted but having all your credits transferred with the date to try out for the team. So I can only believe that that was God's hand in me coming to this team.
Talking to Josh Griffin, so you mentioned the director of football ops, that's Tom Ehlers, and he said
yes.
That one day he got a message from you, and he responded, yeah, I'd love to talk to you. I'd be happy to talk to you. And then his phone rings, and it is you, and you're already out in the lobby, and he can't figure out how you even got into the building because that's not easy. What do you remember about that meeting and conversation?
I remember just meeting a kindred spirit. I remember meeting a man who, you know, his word is his bond, you know, and it, you know, just there's some things in life that you go in and it just feels right, you know. And he wonders how I got into. Well, I just simply walked up to the building and then someone's like, "Oh, you trying to get in?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, sure," you know. So they let me in, and I was just right there in the lobby waiting for him. So it wasn't any, you know, GT-14 classified, you know, way of me getting in, or as it were, but it was just by chance that I got in. And the rest is history.
The rest is history. We're talking for a few more moments with Colorado State's Joshua Griffin. However, the part of the story, too, you weren't allowed to work out on the team's field during the 2 weeks before a walk-on tryout. So the story goes, you would drive from your base in Colorado Springs to Fort Collins, which is 2 hours. You would watch practice, and then you would put yourself through the same exact drills but on a different field. Is that how that went, and what did you take away from those visits where you just watched them do what they were doing?
Yeah, you know, when I hear the story, you know, said back to me, it does kind of sound a little insane. But yes, for the bit of a, yeah, it's true. For at least like, 3 times out of the week, sometimes 4, because I might spend a night at Fort Collins, I would drive and just, I would just sit there. And I'm pretty sure some of the players can attest that some weird guy probably standing outside of the practice field just stood there and just watched. And I did that for 2 reasons. Number one, I wanted to figure out whatever they were doing. That way I could perfect it. That way I could have a better chance to play. And two is that if I'm to be on this team, and it was during the summer, so it was very hot, I wanted them to know that when I got on the team, that guy that was sitting there outside, he didn't need to be out there, was standing there when it's uncomfortable dealing with the heat because he wanted to be on that team. So whatever they were willing to be put up with, I was willing to put myself through as well.
Yeah, Josh, I would imagine in your life you've been put in some really stressful situations. You're an athlete anyway. But given your journey, given what you went through, given how badly you wanted this after all this time, what about the day of the tryout? I mean, that's the ultimate. No, I take that back. That's not the ultimate. I was going to say that's go time, though. What do you remember about the day of the tryouts and how you were feeling?
Confident. I remember 6 other young men out there that weren't very, their minds weren't at ease. And I just remember being the older guy there. I had to be, you know, even then a leader to tell them, hey, look, don't worry about it. You know, that the only thing in life that you can control is your attitude and your effort. And so with that being said, I remember, and people can laugh at it now, look back at it, but I just had tights on. And one would think I was trying to, you know, try out for the NFL Combine at this moment. But yeah, I went through it. Apparently I did well in it. And, you know, that's when Tom let me know that, hey, man, we want you on the team and come out, you know, and so I did. Very, very excited.
So what was it like to hear that? You've had the vision for a long time now. How does it feel to be a college football player?
I've been rejuvenated. I you know, people say I'm 33 years old, but I'll be honest with you, I don't realize my age unless someone reminds me. You know, just being with these young men and to see them each and every day, to hear their stories, to share their laughs, to share their cries even, you know, it has brought back purpose in my life to let me know that my desires are far beyond playing football or in the military. It's really to help and to be there for people.
Yeah, Josh, I hadn't even mentioned it, your age yet, but you are 33, and the really important part here to me is the guys, and I would imagine the kids on the team probably have a little bit of fun with you and probably call you certain things, but at the same time, you made it very clear that you're there for them. You want to help them. You want to share what you've learned. You said, come to my house if you want. If you need a place to crash, I'm here. You've taught them how to tie a necktie. You've taught them how to change a tire. You've told them, if you're about to do something that you probably shouldn't do, call me first. What's all of that mean to you, and what's that part of the experience been like?
Well, you know, I even though right now I'm a D1 athlete, a college student, I'm always going to be a platoon sergeant. I'm always going to be a non-commissioned officer. And that role we have in the military, you know, we always say that the NCO is the backbone of the Army, and I truly believe that. And so as a person who has the experiences, the financial resources that I have, it would be wrong for me to see this as a me time, as to be selfish. No, my job in life, and I think this is everybody's job in life, is to leave a lasting positive impact to whoever they meet. And so, you know, when I tell people, hey, yeah, you want to come over to the house, if you want to talk things out before you make a decision, yes, I will be there for you, because that's, at the end of the day, that's who we are as a people. That's what we should be about, by helping one another.
Joshua Griffin, my guest. A final question then. I appreciate your time very, very much. You know, people, even if you're not looking to be, you are an inspiration. You recognize this. People are inspired by you. So what do you want them to know? For instance, if there's a piece of advice or wisdom that you could give to people listening right now, knowing what you know and what you've lived, what would that piece of advice be?
Don't set limitations on what you can do. Know that as long as there's air in your lungs, you have opportunity. Know that, you know, there's no such thing as, you know, a fountain of youth, but there is a fountain of death, and don't drink out of it. You know, there's a lot of things in life that we said we can't do, but why? You know, as long as if you can dream it, you can do it. And I'm a firm believer in that. And if there's anything that people can take from my story, is that it's never too late. As long as that you have the will and the strength in your body to do it, well, go on and do it.
He is a Colorado State football player. He joined the Army right after high school. He's had 5 deployments overseas, an active duty staff sergeant, and a big one tomorrow night, Air Force at Colorado State. My guest, Joshua Griffin. Josh, so nice to meet you. I appreciate your service very much, and I really appreciate that conversation, Josh. Thank you very much.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me.
Have a great day. Really enjoyed that, and I know a lot of people got so much out of that. Great conversation. Joshua Griffin. Man, I love that. Your thoughts, your reaction to it. You have my telephone number. You know where to find me on Twitter. And also, you know to tweet at me or email me, too. All right, coming up next, keep this thing moving. Let's talk some Nashville Predator hockey. Peter Laviolette joins me when we come back. I've got the bottom of the hour, 4 days that were. The flight deck. He's going to push the play button. He had nothing to do with it. Huge call still ahead. There may be time for phone calls on the back end. Stay tuned. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Hey, Jim Rome here. When you want expert advice, what do? You go to a pro. Some folks consider me a pro at sports. And as a pro at sports, here is some simple advice that can help you. I'll give you an example. Say you hit a sports book. Say there's a guy there who says to you, hey, I got a sure thing. You want my pro tip? Go the other way. There's a reason why casinos pop up out of the ground nearly every other week in Vegas. It's because there is no such thing as a sure thing. So when you're looking for pro tips on vehicle maintenance or repair, look no further than O'Reilly Auto Parts. That's my other pro tip. When it comes to replacing your battery, getting advice on proper car maintenance, or even just getting the best bang for your buck, their expert team can help you at every step of the way. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. All right, we're going to keep moving. If you have thoughts on our last interview, I'd love to have them. Right now, we're talking hockey, not just any hockey, but Nashville Predator hockey. We are joined by the head coach there. He's in his 6th season with the Preds. Led them to a Western Conference Championship and a President's Trophy. A Stanley Cup winner as a head coach. More than 600 career wins. Nashville returning home. Coming off a road trip, they've got Chicago tomorrow night. Peter Laviolette is my guest. Peter, good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, how are you doing today?
Good, Peter. Great to visit with you. That road trip was something now. 4 games, 10 days, over 4 different time zones. When you go through something like that, how eager are you to get back out in front of your own fans tomorrow night? And what does that home crowd mean to you?
Yeah, I think the clock changed too. So technically, we went through an up and down. It's just the natural cycle of the clock moving as well. So it was a tough road trip. I wish we had more game, just more games on it. The schedule's been good to us, but when you get out on the road like that for 11 days or whatever it was with the travel days included, you wish you're playing maybe 6 games or 7 games and less downtime. So the road trip wasn't great. We left, I think we're a couple points out of first place, and we come back 1-2-1 on that road trip, and we're find ourselves out of a playoff spot. So we got some work to do here, but hey, it is good to get back home. I think just getting back and getting a couple days of practice and back into our building, Bridgestone Arena, has been a great place for us. So I think the guys are really excited to be back home and get some home games in.
All right, so Peter, you're 18 games in, and as you mentioned, out of a playoff spot. How would you describe the identity of this year's team?
Well, offense has been pretty good. We've been able to score goals and generate offense. Early in the year, we were having a real problem defensively, and most of it was coming from the offensive zone. We were just, when things turned over in the offensive zone, or we pushed it for some high-risk plays, it comes back so quickly to the defensive zone that we were giving up too many odd man rushes and too many goals against. And short of the Colorado game, which we played on this road trip here and got walloped pretty good, we've been really tight. There's a lot of 0 goals, 1 goals, 2 goals against, and so we've tightened that up. But again, it's you leave for the road trip. If you go out and can go 3-1 on the road trip, you might be 2 points out of first place, and you come back 1-2-1, you find yourself out of a playoff spot. So it's been a little bit inconsistent. I'd like to see some more consistency inside of our games. At times we look like we could take on anybody, and at times we look like we need a kick in the tail.
Peter Laviolette joining us. Peter, let me ask you about Nick Bonino, because it seems to me, on the outside looking in, you got a guy who's second on the team with 8 goals that has him on pace for a career high, but the goals are nice. But when you look at everything he does for you on the ice, how valuable is he to the team, and then how happy are you to see him get rewarded with those goals?
It's really good for a guy like Nick, right now, even strength points, he is on the power play, but power play I think can skew sometimes what happens in 5-on-5 play. And he's our leading point getter and leading goal getter, I think, 5-on-5. So he is he's having a terrific year. And you're right, it's nice to see a guy like Nick, who plays in the trenches, get rewarded with some offense, and he certainly has the skill set to do that. But it's more of everything that he brings to our team. We count on him for, he's the first guy out the door on the penalty kill. If we've got a lead late in the game and there's a minute left and we're hanging on to a one goal lead, he's on the ice. So he's somebody that we count on for a lot of different situations. Like the penalty kill and the defensive role and the checking role, it's great when he's able to contribute offensively. His line mates have played really well too. Craig Smith and Rocco Grimaldi, we haven't touched that line. They've been a positive line from all numbers and what they're bringing to the ice. So that line's off to a good start. Nick's been one of our most productive players.
You know, Peter, I'm curious. Last season did not end the way you would have liked with the overtime loss to Dallas in Game 6. I bring it up because when you lose a series where three of the losses were by a single goal, it might be pretty tempting to say, hey, we're close. We don't really need to change anything. It just didn't bounce our way. But in the aftermath of that game, you were taking complete ownership of everything, and you were looking to improve. How did you go about processing that loss and looking to learn from it?
Well, we brought in another coach, Dan Lambert, just give some different thoughts on the power play. The power play had been a point last year where we just couldn't seem to get it on track, and you know we're doing a good job this year, and so that's been a good improvement for our team. We lost a big guy in PK, but that made room for a young player like Dante Fabbro, and the league is full of so many good young players now that you've got to make room for these guys when they're ready. And after watching Dante play at the end of last season, we really felt like it was his time to come in and take on more minutes. And he's had a real strong start to his season playing with Matthias Ekholm and up the lineup a little bit. And against other teams, you know, best opponents, he's really held his own and done a nice job. And I think the addition of Matt Duchene coming in as well has helped us. And you know, last year, when you get into a playoff series with Dallas, or it could be any series really that you talk about in the league, it just goes to show you how good the teams are, how close the competition is, and the one-goal games and the overtime losses. And you know, you need a little bit more of something, whether it be defense or power play production or 5-on-5 production, or you need a bounce or whatever it might be. It's just that close, and there's that much parity in the league that the playoff series are often decided in Game 6 or Game 7 with a lot of overtime outcomes.
Peter Laviolette joining me for another moment or so. So you make these changes, right? You've got Matt Duchene who comes in, PK goes out, Dante Fabbro comes in. Seems to me even with the PK trade, there was so much more attention on Fabbro, and he's done a great job of handling that. But then you've got your own approach, right? Like Scott Hartnell, who played for you in Philadelphia.
Right.
And then again in Nashville, Peter said, quote, it was wild because I was with him for 3 or 4 years, and you figure coaches are used to saying the same thing, so maybe they'll just recycle things on different teams. But I didn't hear one speech in Nashville that was the same that I heard in Philly. You'd think you hear the same thing over and over again, but it was totally fresh and always new. That's really curious to me, Peter. It's like, how did you go about staying fresh and making sure you did not repeat yourself and that the message did change?
You know, there's a chance that Hartsey wasn't listening.
Right.
There's a chance that a lot of it was repetitive, but he was just tuning me out. So, listen, he's one of the good ones. You know, he cares so much about his team and his teammates, and you talk about a guy that was a pleasure to work with. He gave his heart and soul every night to both the team and his teammates, and it was just awesome to be with Hartsey and to bring him back here to Nashville to end it and try and win a cup with him was awesome. Obviously, it fell short, but that doesn't take away from the experience and the time that we all got to spend with him. And like I said, he's just, you know, you find so many people that say great things about him just because of the person that he is. So, you know, it was good. I think just coaching, you just got to always kind of try to keep something fresh. You got to be selling something in there and talking about something. And so, you know, it's great that Hartsey, that I get to spend time with him and got to do it again. And nice of him to say that.
Last thing, Peter, I would imagine it would not be easy to be your son in your sport, and certainly not your son in your sport with your name. But your son, Peter, is playing at Plymouth State.
Yeah.
He has scored in each of the last two games.
Yeah.
How much pride is there for you in seeing the success that he's having?
Well, it's awesome. I'll tell you what's really cool right now is that the way that colleges and even high schools work to a point when they were at Proctor Academy up in New Hampshire, the way it works is that there's somebody there with an HD camera, and even at the Proctor Academy, the high school level, they would take a kid who wanted to get into communications, and they would put an announcer, and they would give them a color guy, and they would do their best to deliver the game. And so when you take your computer and you plug it into a 70-inch TV in your living room, it's like you're right there. And so I've been really fortunate that I've been able to watch him. He played last night. I thought he played a really good game, able to communicate with him after. And, you know, it's hard. I think that's a little bit hard, Jim, being a coach. Like, I'm in different places along the way of my career, and my kids have – you know, now moved on to college, and you want to be there for them. It's the closest thing I can do is to be able to, and it's a great thing to be able to watch that game and communicate about the game afterwards with him. You know, for him, what's it like? I wouldn't want to walk in his shoes. I'll tell you a quick story.
Sure.
Before you go. I remember in Carolina, he was 10 years old, and he would line up next to somebody, and he's a left winger, and the right winger would line up next to him at the face-off circle, and the right winger would look at him, and he'd see the name on the back of the jersey, and he'd be like, oh my God, is your dad the coach of the Carolina Hurricanes? I'd love to meet him. And he was like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then we went to Philadelphia, and he got to be 15 years old, and that's when nice little boys turn into kids, you know, starting to get into their own in high school, and somebody would line up to him and say, your dad sucks as the Flyers coach, and I'm gonna kick your tail.
Oh, that's great.
So it completely changed. But
that is great.
They're doing good. They're both, well, one's down to Florida Gulf Coast playing hockey, the other one's up at Plymouth. They're both doing great.
I love it. Great to hear. You got Chicago, Nashville tomorrow. He's got more than 600 career wins. He won a Stanley Cup as a head coach, led the Preds to the Western Conference Championship and a President's Trophy. Peter Laviolette, my guest. Peter, great to have you back. Thank you so much. Always appreciate it.
All right, Jim, take care. Have a good one, bud.
You too, Peter. Great talking to you. Great conversation, as always. Preds hockey. You know, it used to be back in the day that we talk hockey. And then, I mean, way, 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 way back in the day. We always talked hockey because way back in the day, when I got my first big break on 690 AM in San Diego, we were an LA Kings affiliate, which is why old school Jungle listeners remember Roy Malacher. Roy Malacher is one of our best friends ever on the program. Roy was the president of the LA Kings. That's why year after year after year, Roy would come in and then moved on to the Sens and had a really amazing career. So we always talked hockey on the show. Part of the reason was when Wayne Gretzky got to LA, 99 wanted to come on the show and educate the locals on hockey. It seemed like such a wild thing, right? And then you have Sunbelt hockey. Then you've got the Ducks. You've got the Sharks. You've got hockey in Florida. On and on and on. We've always talked hockey. I just want to make sure that we don't fall into this habit of, yeah, we talk mostly during the postseason. I want to make sure we got after it early on, especially when I'm known for my playoff picks, and I'm never wrong about that. I'm known as the guy you come to if you want to talk hockey or if you want quality hockey, you want that conversation. Mainstream media that can talk hockey. Why do you think we have so many coaches on players? Because they know that. They respect that. They know they're going to get a quality conversation here in the Jungle. If it sounds like I'm patting myself on the back, it's because I am. Because I have not been giving myself enough credit lately. Some of you have been giving me credit, but I have not been giving myself enough credit. So I want to make sure I do that right now. And Bella loves when I taw hockey. And Hitman Canadian tweets, we love when you taw hockey. It gets us hyped up for the battles to get on top. Signed, Utah, Wives 2, 3, 4, and 5. Polygamy smack. Great. See, the thing is, like, somebody called on the ATP or wrote on the ATP earlier in the week and said, hey, Rome, how did this show get to be known as The Jungle? And why are we called clones? And I said, because back in the day, the listeners would mimic me, sound like me, speak like me. The thing is, say things that I would say. I never say these things. I never talk about multiple wives. I never talk about polygamy. I never talk about people gaining weight. I never talk about OJ. I never talk about any of these things. So if, in fact, you're clones, where are you getting all this crap from? Because you're not getting it from me. We know this. If I had survived on a diet only of polygamy, people fatting out, OJ, do you think I would have gotten anywhere near the Radio Hall of Fame? Do you think I would have gotten anywhere near my second year in this business? So why do you all keep doing it? If you're not getting it from me, what do you think you're doing, Kelly? That music you're bringing up on me. Who do you think you are, Alvin DeLauro? DeLauro has the wherewithal to get me to break. You, my friend, with the big fat head, do not. You can turn that music off right now. I'll let you turn it off. I'll let you know when I'm ready. Now I'm ready. Go ahead. Time to answer your Ask the Pros question, where you get to submit a question to me at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. This dude, this guy gets it. Jim, is it going to be weird spending a weekend in California for a change? What's on the docket? I love it. Bob in Portland, Maine. P.S. No travel means no losing Apple products. So that's a win. You know what else it means, Bob? It means probably buying one. You feel me? Good question, Bob. Good question. Way to know my deal. I'm not traveling this weekend. Back to New York next weekend. So what's on the docket? I'll lay it out for you. Friday night, I normally will say to Janet, what's going on? What are we doing for dinner? I used to be like, what are the kids doing? Now it's, what's the kid doing? What's for dinner? And inevitably, if I ask any time before, say, 4 p.m., the response is, haven't gotten that far. Yeah, but if we haven't gotten that far and it's 4, it's already too late in this town. So the answer to the question is, I do not know tonight. Tomorrow's wide open. The kid, Logan, has got travel ball on Sunday. Sunday is always a big NFL day, as you know. He's got travel ball. I want to make sure I mix that in, but they don't tell you until Saturday where Sunday is. So the answer to the question, Bob, I really don't know. All I can guarantee is a lot of football, some baseball, and probably an adult beverage and maybe two. And some gambling where I'll lose. That's my weekend. Where James Kelly will win. And then he'll talk junk and I'll say, yeah, but you ran a horrible board on Friday, brah. Yeah, but I won my bets. How did you do, boss? I did win last night. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Gambling's funny, man, isn't it? You ever go on a run where you get like 6 out of 7, right? And it's easy. Man, it's easy. And you're like, damn, I'm smart. I know this. I know this. And then you go a week and you can't win anything at all. And then you win one, you're like, man, I can't believe how good that felt. Or you have an entire season where you can't pick one game right, like Trevor Price. And then on top of that, you have Bill Romanowski come in and Romo says, Trevor Price. When that guy came in, I thought he was the worst effing first round draft pick in the history of the NFL. Flight Deck, do we actually have time to run the 4 days that were? I forgot. Go ahead, pop it.
It is my privilege to induct you into the Radio Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah, welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A very good Monday to you. I want to thank you all for the Hall of Fame love. Had a great weekend in New York City. Let me start first with the NFL weekend. You know me, I'm a glass half full guy. So why don't we start by congratulating the Jets for winning the Failure Bowl.
Yeah! Jamal Adams takes the ball away. He's going to run right and score.
Ball security much? Dimes? In fact, he damn near handed it to him like Adams with Saquon Barkley. What a soul-destroying moment.
Lamar Jackson, 10, 5,
Jackson.
Touchdown.
Here's the other thing about Lamar Jackson. It might make your head explode. Guy's not even been an NFL starter for a full calendar year. Let's extrapolate the numbers.
I hadn't really sort of extrapolated.
Touchdown, Tigers!
If you beat Alabama in their house the way LSU just did, by just taking it to them, you absolutely can say, roll tide. Believe you. Yeah. Will Brinson.
I got OK Boomer, which is apparently the new thing that kids are doing to anyone that they perceive as remotely old.
OK Boomer.
I may just have to embrace it and eat dinner at 4:30.
In my days, I've always had people around me that were better, that were smarter, and people that would tell me.
Unbelievable, truly surreal weekend in New York City where I was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame on Friday night.
Jim Rome, back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Going Jim with
Rome.
My guys, com. Kevin and Bean from K-Rock. Dr. Ruth at 91 said, I want all of you to go home after this tonight and try a different position.
And of course, Jim, I've been a fan for so many years. It's great to see you too.
To see Ryan Seacrest show up the way he did and deliver the way he did Friday night, honestly, was pretty extraordinary.
Rogan Lowe.
He tried to order a shot. I'm like, Junior, settle the hell down. You're 14. Take it easy, Broham. Life is short. It happens. It happens to us all. Don't act like I'm the only guy that's left a phone in your car.
But to the clones, my my listeners.
It was an all-time great weekend, one that I wish every one of you clones could have experienced with me. There's no way that I sniffed that joint without all of you. I know this, and I appreciate, and I love the hell out of you clones, and believe me, you were on my mind the entire weekend.
Thank you, Jim.
Bill Peters.
I've got a younger son, so I got to wait till he's out of school till we get to the lake, and it's time to kick back and recharge and get away.
There's nothing like lake life, right?
No, it's the best. It is phenomenal.
Are you not honoring this two-for-one Big Mac coupon? At my signal, unleash the gravy spout.
At least give me a clean spoon
for my banana split. Wrecking one of the great movies of all time. PJ Fleck, how are you doing today, PJ?
I'm doing elite, Jim. Thanks for having us on the show again.
Rick Carlisle is my guest.
Jim, I'm well. Great to be back in the jungle. It's been a long time.
Email.
My beef is with Hawk, taking a run at NYC Beer. War Alvin, visiting the CBS Sportsnet TV control room. All true.
And stun the number one Wildcats, 67-64.
Evansville over Kentucky last night. Walter McCarty is the head coach. He's joining us.
Oh, man, I'm getting emotional now just thinking about it. Tony Dunson's my brother, man. Just that type of brotherhood that we had at Kentucky.
Ladies and gentlemen, Eleanor, Betty, Gladys, Agnes, Earl, Ernest, Oswald, Herman, Sylvia, Doris, Cecil, Garrett, Rick. This is for all the butterscotch. Greg Berhalter is my guest.
Before we get into that, Jim, I have to congratulate you. When I think about iconic voices, you're certainly way up there.
It sucked having to explain to multiple people how I blew it on Jim Rome. I'm kind of known for having the gift of the gab, and that day I definitely choked up.
Bro, is that what you call redemption?
This might be the worst first-round pick ever in the history of the NFL.
We were talking to head coach Craig Smith.
I'm great, Jim. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I was fired up, man. I heard that music before you put me on, and it got the goosebumps going. So thanks for having me on. Go Aggies!
I got four sons, and anytime anybody in our house refers to their brother, I always say, brother.
Cruz Pedregon.
If I can segue really quick to the smack off, Rick and Buffalo's material is pretty good, but I like that energy and that.
It's rah. A show, man. It's yeah, a show. It's, he is Daniel Jeremiah.
As someone who grew up in San Diego, there was nobody that was more of a no-doubt Hall of Famer than Tony Gwynn. That was until yourself in the Hall of Fame, buddy. Much deserved, and I couldn't be happier for you.
Thank you so much, Jim. Appreciate it. Elio.
But let's get the perspective straight here.
My penalties are a problem.
If you waste this trip, dude, I'm going to waste you.
What was he thinking? He thinks he's going to score.
Brad and Corona.
Thank you so much, Jim. Appreciate it. Elio.
Watson. Fat cow.
Have my signal. Unleash
the chocolate fountain.
Ham sandwich.
Is it a serious question or is it a joke?
I'm out.
John from New York. Good night now.
James, did you do one thing for that and put in that, let's get the perspective right? Was that your contribution to the week that was? That one line. Wow, terrible job. Bad job, worse effort. Bad job, worse effort. Trade Pros, Ferguson is proud to be a part of what you do. Their pro pickup service allows you to buy online and pick up in store, making business with Ferguson the easiest part of your hard day at work. Learn more at Ferguson.com. That's it. I am out of here. Thank you for listening. Have an amazing weekend. See you right back here on Monday. I'm Jim Rome. We're out.
Good night now.